Strap in. You're listening to The Walt Blackman Show, the show that brings you hardcore conservative straight talk. Welcome to the No PC Zone.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Walt Blackman Show. Hope you're having a great day. We're going to be talking about election integrity, but not the type that you may be thinking of. We're going to be talking about integrity and honesty among candidates and campaign ads here on The Walt Blackman Show. So let's get ready, let's get set, and strap in for the No PC Zone here on The Walt Blackman Show. All right, everybody, let's get into it. So as we approach this election year, integrity and honesty, does it still matter? I think that's a question we all should be able to ask and answer for ourselves. Does election integrity and honesty in a candidate still matter? It should. So, you know, a lot of you may be under the impression that the 2020 campaign, presidential campaign, was a new or set a new low for down and dirty politics. But I will tell you, America has a time-honored tradition in mudslinging. And that election was no different. So if we go way, way back and we are talking about political mudslinging and campaigns, you know, we can go all the way back to 1800. And in 1800, Thomas Jefferson's supporters repeatedly called John Adams a monarchist. Now, that was absolutely the worst thing you could say about someone back then, especially since it wasn't true that they were calling John Adams that. Now, Adams supporters called Jefferson an atheist, and that also wasn't true. We can only imagine how the mud fest would have played out if they had a television. Now, actually, someone did imagine it, and creating ads out of rhetoric of the time was the thing to do. In the presidential contest of 1884, that was even worse. Republicans skewed Democrat candidate Grover Cleveland, calling him a narcissist beast and a moral leopard. Why? Because he once fathered a bastard child. The result of the infamous chant, or this resulted in an infamous GOP chant, "Mama, mama, where are you? Where is my papa?" To which Cleveland supporters responded, "Gone to the White House, gone to the White House." But you know what, though? That isn't really, you know, that's not that bad compared to some of the things that I've seen and read and things I've heard on myself. That really isn't bad. However, back in those days, it was bad, but it only progressed. In 1828, candidate Andrew Jackson was called a murderer, and his own mother, correction, he was called a murderer, and his mother was called a prostitute, and his wife was called an adulteress. That was pretty bad back in those days. In 1876, Democrats claimed that Ruther B. Hayes shot and wounded his own mother in a drunken fit of insanity. In 1884, Democrats jeered at the GOP candidate with a chant, "Blaine, Blaine, James G. Blaine, the continental liar from the state of Maine." We see it starting to progress a little bit. So let's fast forward to 1952. And that was the very first year of attack ads on TV, in which the Democrats charged the Republicans and they would say one thing and do another. Now, again, to this point, that really isn't that bad. But in that same year, the GOP started rumors that the Democrat Adlai Stevenson was a homosexual. Something that seems as quaint today as charging that a candidate has black ancestors, which actually happened in the campaign of 1920 when Democrat Whisper campaign ad said about Warren G. Harding that he had black ancestors. And you remember, you may not remember this, but some of y'all may remember this during the Goldwater Johnson campaign, the Daisy commercial, which was probably the most savagely negative ad up until that time, because it essentially made the argument that if you don't vote for President Johnson and you voted for Goldwater, you are essentially voting for nuclear war. And we think when you talk about that time in 1964, that was a scary thing in 1988. The face of fear was the George W. Bush one rhetoric, where they say that Bush sanctioned what many viewed as a racist commercial by saying that convicted guy, I think his name was Willie Horton, and Democrat candidate Mike Dukakis as a governor gave a weekend furlough to Horton from prison, and Horton fled, kidnapped a young couple, stabbing the man and repeatedly raping his girlfriend. A picture of Horton was on the TV and it was played every night. Now that was true. The guy actually did get the furlough, and that's, you know, hey, that's what it is. Often the same consultants, and when we're talking about consultants and integrity, and when we're talking about these things in the campaign, and often the same consultants who are advising a campaign are also consulting with a super PAC. And sometimes they're all done out of the same office. Can you believe that? Now, as we get ready for the vote for the primary that's coming up this fall, and most importantly, the presidential in 2024, it's important for all of us to remember to do our own research on candidates. We also need to do research on their policies as well as their voting records, if they have a voting record, character, and integrity. But when we get to the part of character integrity, as we've seen in the past, are there going to be an onslaught of lies? As we heard, as I briefly went through a history lesson of mudslinging in our country. Now, it is my thinking that with leadership, in the absence of leadership at the top on telling the truth and treating people fairly, it's pretty much all of us to lead the way in determining the values that we want our elected officials to have. It's going to be up to us, and that requires resource. Now, too often leaders will pretend to support common sense policies and that they have wide support from voters to get reelected. But then they do what their donors want them to do once they get reelected. I talked a little bit about this a couple of weeks ago. Choosing the same algorithm and expecting a different result when the algorithm, when the numbers are going in, are bad. How can we expect to have a republic that is going to be improved and do the things that they are supposed to do as elected officials if we continue to listen to dirty campaign ads, mudslinging, and base our decisions on that? Not only is this unethical to do, in my opinion, but it is dangerous to our republic. Now, too many candidates often have no ideals of their own. But instead of spending their time attacking their opponents, I'm tired of the attack ads that exploit fear and a perceived differences. I'm tired of that. We see so many ads that candidates spend their time attacking their opponents, and but they have no ideals of their own. So what I want to see a candidate is to promote bold ideals and making this country great. And not all ideals may be feasible to everyone. I got it. But exploiting fear or dividing us based on fear of new ideals in different cultures is not American. Now, America is the best when led by example. When we have people that lead by example, that are God-fearing, that have ethical, moral standards that they are meeting, we're the best. But being the best doesn't mean that we don't have problems to fix, because we do. Now, while we have the best military in the world, we don't have the best healthcare system, and we all know that, hence Obamacare. We lead the world in poverty. And too many Americans today are struggling paycheck to paycheck. Now, when we're talking about the amount of money that goes into negative ads and the campaigns, let's talk about our last presidential campaign of 2020. The election cycle was the most expensive campaign year in history. Now, the advertising that was spent for candidates running for federal offices, now this is combined, federal offices had reached an unprecedented amount, totaling at least $2.5 billion on TV ads alone, just TV ads alone. Since January of that year alone, nearly 5 million ads for president, Senate, and Congress had aired on television airwaves alone. And political advertisements have come a long way since, you know, 1952 or 1800. However, during Dwight Eisenhower's first commercial, and that was the first, his campaign was the first to use television like we see it now. Nearly 70 years later, we see an increase of dirt, mudslinging, and untruths. Now, I'll tell you that television still plays a prominent role in campaigns. We know that. Even with the new platforms like social media that will capture more and more of the public's attention, Facebook, Twitter, all those social media platforms that are out there that are capturing the public attention. Now, since the 2020 general election, then former Vice President Joe Biden outspent former President Trump on television ads by more than 69%. That is an 82%. That means 82% of the ads that Biden spent on TV was attack ads. Now, collectively, for both campaigns, the two campaigns put more than $360 million towards Facebook, Google, alone. Not to mention YouTube ads. And then with that, in 2020, digital ad spending grew 12%. Now, you would think that the hit of the pandemic during that year would have created a decrease in spending when we're talking about campaign ads. But despite the initial fallout due to the COVID pandemic, digital advertising spending grew 12.2% over the year in 2020. And according to a new report commissioned by the IAB and conducted by PwC, it increased. However, reports also show that the largest players in the ecosystem further entrenched their hold on the U.S. digital market, ad market in 2020, commanding more shares year over year over year. Now, what I have just laid out to you is years of history of negative ads being spent on TV, spent on social media, and also how it evolved from 1800. But in the later half of 2020, political ad spending and during the holiday sales season helped offset the losses of the first part of that year. So instead of decreasing the offset because of the holiday season and so on and so forth, COVID, the offset was $139 billion total for the year that was spent total on political advertising. Now, this is everyone running. This is every race we're talking about, not just the presidential race at that time. And if you haven't heard of the IAB, International Association of Business Communicators, a huge surge in 2020 in connected television, e-commerce shopping, and at-home deliveries created a pendulum swing that helped the sector continue to grow despite a turbulence earlier in that year when we're talking about the COVID. Now, the IAB controls what media goes out. And the IAB is making money over this. They are making money on these campaigns. Now, these campaigns that we see that are on TV time and time again, the IAB said that the top 10 countries held a 78.1% share in the revenues in 2020, with an overall revenue of that group alone exceeding $109 billion. $109 billion, ladies and gentlemen. So what does that mean? Campaigns are money-producing organizations. Money-producing organizations. And these companies, to include the IAB, are getting a profit from this. Now, IAB said companies ranked 11th to 25 and accounted just 6.2 of revenues, while smaller companies, we're talking about communications companies, make up 15.7%. And a lot of these companies are on being advertised on Facebook, Google, and Amazon, and other social media outlets. Now, year over year, we have seen the growth increase. And every year, it increases by 5.2% when we're talking per quarter, when we're talking about money going to companies that are consultants that are running these types of campaign ads. Why am I telling you this? Because campaign ads have a dollar effect on some of these companies. So what I am saying, that when Google has an ad running on their platform, it is a negative ad, their shares go up 28.9%. If it's a positive ad, their shares are only basing at 11.7%. What does that mean, ladies and gentlemen? You run a negative ad, you're going to Google, Facebook, and all these other social media outlets are going to get more money for their return, because the algorithms are watching these ads. And according to the eMarketer, which is a social platform when we're talking about monitoring this data, we see an increase. Now, this is just in 2020. Can you imagine what 2024 is going to be like? Now, a report from the IAB said that they saw in the fourth quarter of 2020, they saw the highest revenue on record for digital advertising, negative advertising, in more than 20 years, which attribute to, in part, of advertising and leading up to an election. That means they know that election time comes around, the more negative ads they run, the more money they make. Social media ads and revenues reached $41.5 billion in 2020. Ladies and gentlemen, $41.5 billion in 2020. That is more than the Arizona budget, marking up a nearly 30% increase in negative ads. Who's getting paid for this? Not the American PAC. Who's benefiting from this? Not the American taxpayers. Big tech, ladies and gentlemen, big tech. Also, digital video saw a 20.6% increase. And year over year, growth of these type of platforms are increasing its shares of the total internet ad through revenue. Now, it went from 1.3% and it has reached 18.7%. When we are talking from 2020 to now, to 18.7%. Now, I don't know about you, But I think we need to follow the money. Because if we don't follow the money, we are going to see more and more of this. Now, I'm not saying a person should not be able to advertise. You should not be able to exercise your free speech, because you need to exercise your free speech. But rather than incentivizing these companies, these social media platforms, to make more money off these campaigns in pushing for negative ads, how about we vote for candidates that have ideals? How about we do our own research? Because that's what it comes down to, is doing our own research. Because if we're not doing our own research, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to continue to get what we get. And we can blame it on anybody. I saw a report that came out the other day that said something to this effect, that Democrats registered as Republicans so they could vote in weaker Republicans that are running in whatever particular campaign so they could beat them in the general race. And, you know, that kind of makes sense to me because, you know, in a general, you can vote for any party, regardless of your party. So if we have a Democrat or a bunch of Democrats that are voting as Republicans, but they are not really Republicans, they are voting as Republicans. And this is a nationwide effort, a nationwide effort from the DCCC. And in every state, they have coordinated to be able to do this. Why wouldn't they vote in the weaker candidate so they can beat them in the election? Now, I'm not saying that that happened, ladies and gentlemen. I've read it. I'm not saying it happened. I'm not saying that the DCCC has sent out that type of instructions. On that, I would have to do more research. However, think of the possibilities that would create. If Democrats, think about it. In many of the states that redistricting took place, a lot of the states turned more red. For example, to include our own state of Arizona, it has turned more red when we are talking about redistricting and the numbers of Republicans that are in these new districts. Wouldn't it make sense to someone who is a strategist to say, we need Democrats to vote Republican in the primaries and vote for the most or the more weaker candidate? Now, last week, I kind of already talked about how the super PACs that get involved in some of these elections will put money into elections. And we know that in the super PACs, the IEs, independent expenditures that campaign candidates or campaigns and candidates cannot get involved in IEs. However, when we're talking about some of these super PACs, the donors do not have to be revealed. And if we have donors that are coming from Democrats like the George Soros of the world that are running negative ads, and we see the increase of dollars going into social media platforms, we see that the money is just being circulated in a big circular motion. So they are making money off of running dirty ads, voting in weaker Republicans that they can beat in the general. If you don't think that that is a problem, then you're not doing your homework. Now, again, I can't say that is for sure. But think about it now for the 2024, and think about it now for the primary. A lot of people in this country, and I am saying this just because it is out there and it's just there. A lot of people in this country are not backing President or former President Trump. You have a group of Republicans, and you can call them anything you want, that are not backing President Trump. You have soft Republicans that are not backing President Trump. You have independent voters that are not backing President Trump. Wouldn't it make sense to vote in all the President Trump candidates that he has endorsed? Wouldn't that make sense if you were using this strategy and then push the narrative like the same narrative that was pushed back during the Goldwater Johnson campaign, that Goldwater could not be trusted with the nuclear football? A vote for Goldwater is a vote saying that you essentially are voting for nuclear war? A vote for an American first candidate that is backed and endorsed by former President Trump is a vote for Trump? You don't see the irony in that, ladies and gentlemen? It's there. It's there. And I think we need to do a better job, ladies and gentlemen, at doing our homework. Now, I, for one, I won't vote for any candidate who doesn't present either by their words or deeds the values that my parents taught me. And those values are, ladies and gentlemen, honesty, empathy, humbleness, and fairness. This is the Walt Blackman Show. I hope you enjoyed that. We will be back next week again talking to you about what's going on in our country and in our state of Arizona. This is Walt Blackman. Enjoyed being here, and you were part of the No PC Zone on the Walt Blackman Show.
Listening to The Walt Blackman Show, the show that brings you hardcore conservative straight talk. Welcome to the No PC Zone.